7th Avenue Pizza, the official pizza of the Soda Pod.
The Soda Pod, the official beer and hockey podcast of 7th Avenue Pizza.
It's Friday. That means we've got another installment of MNCAA. And kicking it off here, the self-proclaimed human catastrophe, Harrison Watt, play-by-play and team communications for the Ferris State Bulldogs. Harrison, thank you so much for jumping on.
Yeah, you know, we're just here to ruin everyone's day on social media. That's what the Dogs kind of specialize in.
I just don't agree because you made my day. I loved it.
We had a lot of fun with it.
All right, so let me set the table here because very, very deserved clap back here at our boy Alex Micheletti, who will be joining us on the other side. He said when I asked everybody, because they were going into matchups that, you know, lower on the rankings, right? So I just asked him, like, hey, like, is it a big deal if you lose or not? And the answer for the Mankato Mavericks against Ferris State was catastrophic. That's quite the aggressive phrasing. And they lose the first game. And Harrison, I'm just going to step back and let you take it from there. How did this evolve?
Yeah, so I saw the tweet at about 2:15, and I sat there and I read it a couple times. Then I listened to Alex, and I was, look, I get it. We've had a couple of tough years. Like, there's no, like, I can't dance around that. I get it. And if you haven't seen us play this year, it'd be hard to know that we're playing a lot better and that we're getting close to where we want to be again. So, you know, I tried not to let it bother me. That was at 2:15. At 2:17, I knew exactly how I was going to respond to that tweet after the game. And at about 2:18, I texted one of our captains, and he was like right away, like, what the hell? And so I sent him a screenshot, and I was like, listen, man, it's the ball's in your court. And it it got around to a couple of other guys. It got into the locker before the game. I can't confirm or deny whether or not it had any sort of effect in the game. But when I walked into the locker room after the game, one of our guys that I had been talking to before was rolling out Mitch Dielstra, and he was, you know, he was grinning pretty big. And he's like, yeah, got him on Twitter. Because I think I was actually still on the air when I sent the tweet. Like, the game ended. I did my whole Ferris State upsets Minnesota State, and my phone was out of my pocket while my color guy was talking. And I was like, I got it. I'm tweeting away. This is going out as fast as I can. Oh, it's going to be a good time with it.
That's incredible. So you won't confirm or deny. I'm basically going to call it out, and I'm going to bring you with me as we time travel when we're done talking Ferris State here to talk Mankato. We'll ambush Alex and see how that goes. I need you to basically tell them point blank, like, yeah, the boys basically said if they didn't have that motivation, they probably wouldn't have won that game.
Yeah, I could do that. They would find it pretty funny when they watch it on Friday, too.
Oh, it's going to be a fun one. I'm excited for that. But so talk to me, because you said, like, a couple years now where things have been a little darker and the team just hasn't quite been where it wants to be. But it sounds like there's optimism, and it sounds like you think they're finally going that right direction. Like, why is that? What's the reason for hope?
Yeah, and I think anybody that knows me knows that I'm kind of a ridiculous optimist. When we got the year started last year, we came in and our team rule was, like, the guys came to school and they had to be in quarantine for 2 weeks right away, just before we started training. So that happens. We've got 20 underclassmen of the team. So obviously the strength and conditioning aspect of that, it's going to be tough, like, just to get started. So that happens. Like any other team, we went into a bit of a COVID mix-up like 3 weeks later. So the guys basically started the season. We had 20 underclassmen, a goalie that had to leave the team to go to World Juniors that was like a top recruit for us, and nobody was in shape. So, like, you know, all the talent that I saw coming in, it was kind of hard to put it together. And we played hard against good teams. If you watch the playoff series that we played at Mankato last year, we played pretty well. So I knew that the talent was there, and this was going to be a really important offseason for us this past offseason. And I thought that the guys came in and they really put it together. Our coaches really challenged them. So I knew when we were in better shape, things would just be better. We've got a good core leadership group. We've got a lot of older guys now. We've got, you know, even the younger guys in the team played a ton of really significant minutes. We had some guys blossom into really good players. So I just feel like a lot of it is the strength and conditioning aspect of it. And I do want to, you know, point out about this win over Minnesota State. When I was on Twitter, I wasn't trying to disrespect them because I have a lot of respect for everyone that works there, like good friends of mine. The radio guy, Mike Sullivan, is one of my favorite people. Paul Allen, their SID, is one of my favorite people to work with. Like, it wasn't about going after them. It was like 5 years of having to read nasty tweets after losses. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to have a little fun for about 5 minutes here and just go off. And so that was all it was. I wasn't trying to disrespect anybody. But yeah, you know, when people come at my guys, I'm going to have their back all the time. So.
Hey, especially when they back you up on the ice, right? They put you in a position to clap back like that. And I mean, anyone that follows us in any capacity knows that I'm the last person that's going to sit here and judge you for going at someone like that. I enjoyed every second of it. It was deserved. It was well delivered. Thank you.
Well, that's what we're here for. Our social media personality, which is a big part of my job, is we're not trying to be, and I know it probably kind of sounds lame, but we're not trying to be disrespectful. We want to, like, when we get good, we want everyone to like us. Like, we want everyone to be like, oh, they're that funny team on Twitter that also wins a lot that we like to cheer for. So that's kind of our goal. We're a smaller school. We have to do things a little more inventive. Our 60 plus year old coach decided we needed to be on TikTok this year. And he's all about, his big thing is he wants to be a TikTok influencer, which when he said those words to me, knowing how little tech know-how he has, like, my jaw was on the floor. I was like, jeez.
The phrasing too just does it all, right?
Oh yeah. TikTok, no, he goes, he's like, hey Harry, we're gonna be a TikTok influencer. And I'm just like, what? Like, oh my god.
It's like when a five-year-old swears, right? Like, you're just like, what just happened?
Yeah, exactly. And he said it, and I kind of like walked away from the meeting. I was like, this is another dimension I'm living in. But, you know, to our credit, we've had a couple go viral. One of our I have an intern that's running it right now, doing a heck of a job. So we're doing things a bit different now and just trying to have fun on social media. And that was, yeah, that game was particularly satisfying. That's, I think, probably the best team in the country. So anytime you get a win against that kind of team, that makes us feel pretty good.
I mean, it's certainly up there, and it's been crazy so far this year to have four Minnesota teams that are in the shuffle for that, but still a lot of hockey to be played, right? And for your team, I want to know last parting thought here on current season, because I'll tell you right now, Harrison, you are the first inductees as honorary members of MNCAA. We'll just call it MICAA if we have to. But throughout the year, we'd love to have you come back occasionally and fill us in on where we're at with the Ferris State progress, especially when you play against our boys over in Minnesota. Oh, but yeah. Tell me, like, what do you need to see moving forward this year to know that they're still on the right path and they're making the right progressions?
Yeah, now that I have a lot of faith in their conditioning level, one of the themes of the last couple of years is we would get up in games and be up late and we would give leads away. And it would, you know, it probably started with, I can't think of the game that it started, but like it started and then it's just in the back of your head. You're like, you're up in a game against a good team. You're like, okay, when's the other shoe going to drop? So a couple times this year it did before we played this game. So like actually the guys were ripping on me pretty good because after the game, one of our backup goalies was on the bench and he noticed I'm in a suit and a tie and we go down the last 2 minutes. I know how good Minnesota State is. So like my jacket's like, I'm taking my jacket off. I'm taking my tie off. I'm like kind of sweating out the last few minutes and they gave it to me pretty good after the game. But like, yeah, just finishing the job. And I thought the thing we did best in that game is it helped that Nathan Smith was probably in the penalty box from the 8 minute mark down to about the 4 minute mark. Like that really helped us because he's a great player.
Sure.
But I think, you know, we had a really mature finish to that game. We probably didn't give up grade A chance the last 6-7 minutes of regulation. Whereas, you know, there have been plenty of games in the past that we've sat through where we've been up into the last minute, one time into the last 2 seconds of a game, that we ended up losing in overtime. So I just want to see him, you know, continue to have mature finishes to games when we're up. That's really the big thing for us. And we did it against Minnesota State Friday. Now we got Michigan State this week. So we'll have our hands full again.
For sure. Well, hey, again, really appreciate you jumping on here. you know, red carpet's out for you whenever you want to jump back on again, especially when you're playing against our Minnesota guys over here. But everyone, this has been Harrison Watt, Harry, human catastrophe. And he's actually going to jump along with me here to the other side. And we're going to surprise Alex Micheletti with, again, that human catastrophe. So, Harrison, let's jump to it. Holy shit, everybody. On the other side here now, myself and human catastrophe here. he was hanging out here in the the lobby, and Micheletti saw him and literally backed out of the recording studio here. And I don't think he's going to be joining us tonight. He was not happy that I surprised him with this. I mean, human catastrophe. Any comments?
Can't handle the heat. Get out of the kitchen.
Amen. Holy shit. So, I mean, if he's really not coming back, I guess I'll give it to you being the expert of the team now, just being that you kind of manhandled them on Friday. Talk me through it. Talk me through like some positives and some rays of sunshine for this Mankato Maverick team.
You want me to say nice things about Minnesota State?
It's tough, I know.
That's not like they've won more games than any team in the country since 2012 or anything by like 25.
They definitely don't have a really good coach. They definitely don't have a just top tier record breaking goaltender. They got nothing working for them. So try and just work something nice in.
The goal they scored was nice. Split the D. Nice play. I appreciated them allowing us to score twice. That was pretty great.
They're good guys. They're Minnesotan Midwest hospitality, right?
Yeah, exactly. I said it was almost Canadian how nice they were. That's a good squad. I mean, that's probably, I always say it, you know, our coach says it, they're probably the best team in the country. And for us to come out with a win was good for the psyche of our guys. But, you know, Alex doesn't really want to acknowledge that, so we can move on from that.
Yeah, he's not coming back anytime soon here to acknowledge that. Next week, I'm going to have to razz him, and we'll see how he takes this. But I appreciate you being here, and I appreciate you playing along with the prank. Any last parting words here then? Just as a whole, as we ingratiate you here into MNCAA, like state of Minnesota, just looking across the teams, are there any that you think like aren't for real out of the Big Four there? Or are there any that you think like are right there, like toe-to-toe with a Mankato?
If there are any that are toe-to-toe, it's probably, well, you know, I always think highly of Bemidji State. They're really hard to play against. Well-coached, great system. They kind of remind me of like the pesky Isles. Like they're so they don't always do things that wow you, but they do all the little things well. And then you look up at the scoreboard at the end of the night and you get outshot like 30-12 and you're just miserable. they can be a problem, and they have been for the Mavs in the past. St. Cloud State's always great. And, you know, I want to give a shout to St. Thomas. It hasn't gone like they probably would hope at this point, but they're a lot better than they look. Like, having watched them a few times outside of the games we played, like, they play really hard and they're well coached. That team's, it's not gonna be long until they're really good.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I appreciate that. And I think we all are realistic with, like, they're not going to come in and be a real team in the first year. Like, look at the transition for teams like Arizona State, Penn State. It doesn't happen overnight, but they're both legitimate programs now. I do have to say, it's just funny that you made that comment. One of our good Husky supporting correspondents, Mark Parrish, actually did an interview with him recently, and one of the segments we went into was literally the pesky Isles. And you know, that's a quick shout out if you want to go check that one out. That's a fun one.
If it makes you feel better, I referenced that exact interview. So I was referencing your podcast on your own
look
podcast.
Look at that.
Which means you've made
good. That means that there are now like three people that have listened to that podcast. Thank you, sir.
Always happy to help.
Awesome. Well, hey, Didn't get the full extent of the prank we wanted, but it was pretty funny to see him panic and run away. I'll take that for like half points, right?
Soon. I'm coming for you, Alex. I'm coming for you.
Yes. Now every week he's going to be worried that you're going to just appear and he's never going to know which week it is. I love this. This is going to be a fun new game we get to play. Well, thank you again, Harrison, jumping on here. Welcome back anytime. We'll be talking more soon. On the other side here, we're talking to Nick Maxson, hearing about those Go Huskies. Woo. Nick, let's not even waste any time here, man. Let's talk here. CC, walk me through it. Like, I know there were some ups and downs here. Walk me through the play-by-play.
Play-by-play. I don't have my mic on. Totally kidding. For CC, really strong defensive outing for them on Friday. St. Cloud looked a little discombobulated throughout that entire game. They really never found their feet. They never really found their forecheck. You got to credit CC and Chris Mayotte and the job that coaching staff has done. They wanted to be a little bit more pressuring of their team. They wanted to get up in St. Cloud State's face. I really think they accomplished that. I don't think St. Cloud State was ready for it, honestly. It put St. Cloud State back on their heels a little bit. They were down 2-1 late in the third. They get a late power play. Yami Kranola with a absolute one-time bomb ties it late at 2. And then if you tie it, might as well win. It's an overtime. Yami Kranola again. A little bit of a stop-and-go move, gets an initial shot, and then follows up and gets the tap and rebound for St. Cloud State. So I think it's okay to say they escape CC with 2 of the 3 points on Friday. Saturday, a little bit more convincing 4-1 win. Just a much more solid, more sound game. That was Huskies hockey. Much more in the forecheck, much more in control, better defensive breakouts. So definitely kind of settled down after Friday. And I just think that, again, CC threw them something they weren't expecting. They didn't quite really adjust to it on Friday. Did on Saturday, able to squeak away the 5 of 6 points.
So tell me, like, any, like, red flags from some of the letdown there? Or is that just ebbs and flows of hockey?
That's ebbs and flows of hockey. Now, if you ask any St. Cloud State fan who thinks that tomorrow is the NCAA championship game, their red flags are flying, the red lights are going off, and the nuclear submarine horns are going off. But honestly, no, that's ebbs and flows. And again, the NCHC conference, as everybody knows, they're the best. This is the best conference in college hockey. CC is in the middle of rebranding themselves to be a little bit more of the team that pushes the pace, that wants to be the team that attacks and not just sit back and wait for turnovers and transition hockey. They are really, and they looked good, honestly. You know, yeah, they're lacking some depth offensively, but you got to credit CC. They were up in the face of St. Cloud State all weekend long. Now, Jordan Byrou, Brett Schwartz, he also 6'6" behemoth at the front of the net. They gave St. Cloud State fits in the defensive zone, so you got to give credit to where credit's due. And if anything, it's good that St. Cloud State, again, just maintaining composure, maintaining posture. They never really panicked. And despite having a not so great game on Friday, they're able to come away with a win. So I don't necessarily look at it as a red flag. If anything, I look at it as this team, you know, they dug in, they kept to it, they didn't panic, and they're able to come away with that victory again on Friday.
Fair enough. And so now coming from Colorado, going back home, playing Uno, how does this differ from the matchup we just saw?
Big time. Uno, you know, they are the team that's going to come at you downhill. They're that linebacker that's coming in on a, you know, a gap blitz. They're going to come at you. They're going to hit you every single time you're in the defensive zone. Talked to Brett Larson this just yesterday, and they have to be ready. He's calling this the grease pan series. It's going to take the physical battles. You know, it's not going to be a skill and speed game that wins this matchup this weekend. You're going to have to dig in and win another way. And for St. Cloud, both in the defensive end and especially in the offensive end, they're going to have to get to those dirty areas, especially in front of the net, and really work the way to earn these goals. It's not going to be this offensive explosion. It's going to be low scoring games, 2-1, 3-2, maybe even 1-0. If you're not ready to give away, you know, your body and to use your strength, you're not going to win the series. So it's going to be a tale of a much different series, and the St. Cloud State better be ready from the drop of the puck, because you know, Uno, it's coming hard. They're coming at you a shift one.
And so being a much different series, like, give me one or two X factors for St. Cloud that you think are going to make or break how this rolls out.
Jack Peart could be the X factor if he's healthy. Day to day from Brett Larson. I watched him in practice. He had a no contact jersey on, but mind you, watching him skate, he looked like he was fully up to speed. Would be surprising to me, in my own opinion, if he does not participate in this weekend series. He's just so good in the back, and he was a freshman. There's a reason why he was a second-round pick of the Minnesota Wild, just so composed with the puck, and again, just an effortless skater. It's very difficult for him to find when he makes a mistake on the ice. Yeah, he's had some learning curves here and there, but that's an X factor to me. Also, going back to Jaame Kerenala and VT Miettinen's a kid that, coming in as a freshman last year, he was light. The lamp has been very quiet so far this season. So if he can find a way to finally hit the back of the twine for St. Cloud, he could be that third line catalyst for offense that I think is really going to be needed in this series, because you're going to have to go to your depth. You're going to have to go to that bottom six to really find some offense, because your top six are going to be well matched against UNO, who plays sound defensive hockey, especially between the blue lines and again in their own end zone.
Sure. And if you were to lose one or both of these games, why?
I just think that St. Cloud State won't be able to adjust, honestly. I think they're going to try to go with that speed and, you know, sort of an attack on the rush, and UNOS is not going to give that to you. They play very similar to CC in the neutral zone. They're not, you know, they're going to come back at you hard in the back check. They're going to force you to dump and chase and be the first man in the puck, but it's not just going to be going in and winning a battle just with your six. You're going to have to create contact. You're going to have to really outwork them. So if St. Cloud State loses, they got outworked, and that's really going to be the theme throughout the series, is if you can outwork your opponent, you're going to be victorious. If you don't, you're going to have a loss in that column. And for St. Cloud, it's again, with so many conference points available to lose, and with such, you have six teams in the top 12 in the USHO poll, you can't afford to lose conference points. And that would be the way that they would go down in the series.
Very fair. And I have to ask everybody on today's episode, any thoughts on the catastrophe that occurred this past weekend?
That was fantastic. You know, Alex Micheletti, a little bit of chirping back and forth in Ferris State. You got to give him credit, man. You know, we saw this a little bit with the NHL, with, I think, Carolina Hurricanes kind of starting some of this chirping back and forth with some other Twitter accounts. And I think it's great that some of the teams have started to chirp back at him. Nashville's been one. The Rangers a little bit, although sometimes they take a little bit too far. Sorry, Rangers. But at the end of it, you know, I love to see the college game kind of picking that up a bit. And is it Alex Micheletti's fault that Mankato State lost? I think there's an argument to be made there. You know, it's funny when you talk to coaches, you talk to players, they always tell you, oh, I'm not on social media. I'm not on Twitter. That's BS. Come on. They all have burner accounts. They all, you know, they listen, they know what the chatter is. And if you're hearing someone trash talk your team, there's no question that fires you up in the locker room. So I'm sorry, Alex. It's your fault. Sorry.
It's all your fault.
It's all your fault. Yes.
Awesome. Well, hey, Nick, appreciate it as always. Any parting thoughts here before we transition over to Steger for some St. Thomas?
St. Thomas, you know, they're getting some good recruits, man. Honestly, for the folks who are watching St. Thomas, I would be damned if I was a college hockey fan to not necessarily look at their team now. Their team is still competitive. Yeah, they're still growing, but look at some of the recruits they're attracting. They're starting to steal some away from the, I would say some from even some of the metro colleges, maybe your Wisconsin's, maybe even down towards your Denver's, your Omaha's. Pay attention to the young groups coming in, because I tell you, Rico Blasi, he's a hell of a recruiter. And for Mr. Stieg, this team's going to blossom quick. So pay attention to those guys.
Love it. Love it. Thank you, as always, Maxson. On the other side here, Ryan Stieg, to dive deeper into the Tommies.
The NHL season is underway, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has an unbelievable offer to celebrate the greatest sport on ice. New customers can bet just $1 on any NHL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. If either team scores a goal! Doesn't matter if it's a one-time clapper or a deft deflection. However, they light the lamp, you win. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state or province, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contest. I played UFC this weekend on Daily Fantasy myself. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN. Throw down $1 on any NHL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. Again, if either team scores a goal. This week, one puck in the net nets you big wins with promo code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, Pennsylvania only, new customers only, minimum $5 deposit, $1 wager required, one per customer, restrictions apply, see DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, Stieg, let's jump right in here, buddy. UST, tell me, how did things go this past weekend with Bowling Green?
Well, it was another one of those weekends where it could have gone St. Thomas's way, but it just didn't. It was kind of a, you know, like the Arizona State weekend went. It was, they had their moments. Friday, they looked sharp, and then it was just, things just didn't go their way, you know? And then Saturday, they had to kill off, like, one of their players, John Schultz, got ejected like 24 seconds into the game or something like that, and was dealt, given a 5-minute major. And then in the middle of that 5-minute major, St. Thomas was given, you know, Bowling Green got a 5-on-3 at that point. The cool thing was that they managed to withstand all that, but still ended up not really generating a whole lot of offense. And it was just like, I'm listening to it on the radio in the first period before I was able to get home, because I was covering the women's game that was going on at the same time, and it kind of went a little late. So I'm hearing it on the radio on the way home, and it's just like, wow, they killed off those penalties. That, you know, this could be the night for them. That's a huge spark. And it just didn't get anywhere. It was just, you know, and it was really disappointing. I was much more impressed with Friday than what happened Saturday. Saturday, I mean, when you get shut out, you know, it just, it looks like you struggled a lot more, and you probably did. And then, but Friday, they had some moments, they could have won that game, and it again slipped away. So it was, I imagine it's frustrating for them right now, because this is kind of a recurring thing where they probably should have a couple wins at this point, maybe two or three, instead of only having just one. So that's my assessment, is that they had some moments, they probably could have come out with a win and maybe get a split, but it just didn't happen for them.
Yeah, and I mean, some negatives there, right? It's not fun when you have one that's within grasp and you don't take it. Yeah. Aside though from Flow Hockey putting this on, I'm like, last week, what other positives can you pull from this? Like, what did you see that's different, that maybe, again, like every week with St. Thomas, I feel like we're going to go back to, okay, what did we see this week that we haven't seen in previous weeks?
Well, I saw the communication continues to be better. I think the guys know where they're going to be on the ice, and, you know, the passing is still pretty crisp, and it just seems like the penalty kill is continuing to get better. I mean, killing off a 5 and a 5-on-3 in the middle of that 5, that's pretty impressive for a team that is pretty inexperienced this year. I mean, yeah, they got some veteran guys, but these are guys who didn't really get to play a whole lot at their previous schools. And, you know, some of the guys, as I've mentioned in a couple feature stories, they're haven't played in a year or haven't played in 2 years. So it's like, and like I talked to Rico Blasi today, and he said, you know, we created a team that is from 13 different teams around the country. So it's like trying to get them to be a connected unit and all working together is not an easy task, but they continue to show that it's a possibility, that this could be something. But for some reason, it's like, you know, and the third period has been like their crippler. And they'll have a good start, they'll have a good second period, but it's like things just kind of fall apart, or like the offense just hits a wall, or the defense starts to falter, you know, when it's time to, you know, it's crunch time and start, you need to close out the game. And for some reason it continues to happen. I asked him about that, and he just said, you know, I think he didn't want to divulge what he thinks it is, but, you know, I think he's starting to figure out that maybe, okay, because, you know, at this point of the year, you want, you know, your team to be able to start fixing the mistakes that maybe were there. And they've done a lot of that. But still, it's like, you know, we should have gotten another win. We should have won one of the games against Bowling Green. We should have won one of the games against Arizona State. You know, that kind of a thing. They should be have. And, you know, and the guys are frustrated, you know, because they feel like they should have more wins. But everybody continues to know that this is a long process and a long season. I mean, I was talking to Dev of the women's game. I was talking to one of the women's coaches, and they said, this is like, people forget that college hockey, this is the longest season in college sports. I mean, your season starts in October and it lasts, you know, if you go into the Frozen Four, it's early April, but bare minimum, you're from October to March. So it's a long season, and the mistakes you make in October, you know, hopefully you're not making them in February and March. So it's a long ways to go, but, you know, I've seen some progress, and it's just putting together a complete game is the thing that is just holding them up. And I think if they can do that, they should be in good shape.
Yeah, and I mean, we've seen a lot of unique lows so far this season. We've seen a lot of unique highs too, right? We've seen the ass-kicking 12-0 for the season opener. We've seen them get their first win and play a lot of competitive games here recently. So you're Rico Blasi. You're part of the leadership group on this team. What's the message? What are we focusing on here in the bye week to make sure we're getting on track here for the back end of the season?
I think the focus is mostly on just relaxing and getting healthy, because if I tweeted out my preview, for those who can't see it, yes, thetripledeek.com, feel free to check it out. I got to plug it. So, but I actually did my preview for the week, and, you know, recapping Bowling Green weekend. And he said, Rico said that people forget that they've played 9 of their 12 games on the road. And these are long road trips. I mean, you know, as he said in the preview, we weren't going to just St. Cloud or to Mankato. You know, we went to the Upper Peninsula twice to play NMU and Lake Superior State. We went to Bowling Green down in Ohio. We went to Arizona. You know, it's like, these are all about as far away as you can get from your home campus. So it's been kind of a rough stretch. And I wonder, maybe if they start to play games, you know, in their own backyard or closer to home, maybe that'll give them something, you know, instead of having to, because it's draining, you know, long road trips. I mean, some of them, he said, you know, we'll have two days of practice, and then we're on the road on a long bus trip. And then we get like a morning skate, and then we got to play two games. Then we get a long bus trip back on Sunday. And it's just, it can wear on you. So I think the big thing out of this weekend is just to regroup and kind of reset, because it's a big weekend next weekend. It's a home and home. They get their next home game. They're playing a team that, from what I've heard, is kind of good. I don't know.
But you know what, Steve, that's a good transition, actually, because I got to ask you for your thoughts on the catastrophe this past weekend.
It kind of was in a little way. It was because I didn't see it coming. I was at the NMU Mankato game where it was the 7-0 debacle that happened down there. And I'm sitting there thinking, geez, I mean, Northern's a pretty solid team. If Mankato can just kind of wipe the floor with them, I mean, it's like, what are they going to do to Ferris, who lost to St. Thomas and probably should have gotten swept by St. Thomas? So, and then that happened, and I was shocked. I mean, I know Ferris is better than they were last year, but still, I mean, it's like, how do you go from a 7-0 win to only managing one goal on a Ferris State team that's very shaky on defense? So a catastrophe is a good way to put it. I thought I would go with that. I'd say catastrophe. Yeah.
Love it. Love it. And everyone, again, thetripledeek.com, thetripledeek.com, thetripledeek.com. If you're like me and you're not smart enough to spell that, all of you can go and check out. It's always going to be shared by MNCAA. That's at MN underscore NCAA, because Isha still hasn't fixed that bullshit. But, Stieg, appreciate you jumping on here. Everyone go check out his work there. And I think next week we're going to have a lot more exciting things to talk about as we potentially brew up our own little catastrophe, huh?
Yeah, yeah. We got a big series against a certain team down in Mankato. And just a quick plug, I'm going to have a feature story on Marty Sertich. He's a women's hockey coach, assistant coach. He was inducted to the Colorado Springs Hall of Fame. I'm talking about his journey to St. Thomas and what made him want to become a women's hockey coach. So that's going to be coming up on the site. I got a feature on Jacob Berger that's going to come out next week on the Rink Live. That's going to be kind of fun. He played at Mankato, was Dryden McKay's backup, kind of like a coming back to town kind of thing. And I might have some other feature stories coming in through. So stay tuned. There's going to be some good stuff, and I look forward to talking more about it next week.
And what's that site?
What was that?
And what's that site again?
Oh, it's thetripledeek.com. THETRIPLEDEKE. Yes, I got it from the Mighty Ducks.
There we go. Hey, check it out, folks. No questions asked. And on the other side here, we have wrapping it up for this week of MNCAA, Drew Cove covering the Golden Gophers. All right, Drew Cove here. I don't even have time to sugarcoat it. Fuck Wisconsin. Like, talk me through this. Like, talk me off the ledge of what just occurred.
Well, like I said last week, they given up some points to teams that they shouldn't be giving up points to. You know, it's gonna come back to bite them. And I get it was an overtime loss, but it's definitely not the way the first game wanted to go for the Gophers. But you know. What a weird game too. How about that with the own goal in on the delayed power play? That was a delayed penalty kill for Wisconsin, if you're talking from Wisconsin's perspective. Mm-hmm. But what a wild game, and obviously it ends not the way the Gophers wanted to, but thankfully they're able to get most of the points with the win on Saturday. But yeah, you got to wonder if Wisconsin turns out to get better throughout the season, you wonder how many, if this stuff keeps happening against some of these middling, Big Ten teams, you know, it's, what's it going to look like for the Gophers in the long run? And they definitely, like we talked about last week, we can call Michigan M for now, the yeah. Block M. So, but yeah, they're going to have a tough task with Michigan down the stretch. So, I mean, I don't think it's time to be on the ledge at this point, but it's definitely not the perfect result that Gopher fans should have wanted out of this weekend.
No, it certainly wasn't. But if we're going to talk positives, like, got to be a sigh of relief here that we have not lost the reigning Richter winner, Micheletti.
Yeah, yeah, with Jack LaFontaine, you know, it's seeing the news of kind of him getting injured a little bit, that did not seem that was a bit of a scary moment for probably every Gopher fan out there, knowing that the guy that was his backup was in the other uniform that night. So the guy who was probably the most ready to be a starter at this level, obviously going away because LaFontaine kind of kept the spot, and obviously for Mo, you got to go somewhere to go play. It's obviously hurts a little bit when you're a Gopher fan and they go across the border to play in Madison at Kohl Center. But, you know, it could have been a scary thing. And Jack LaFontaine going down for a long period of time for this team would not be a good thing. Obviously no starter who is the reigning Richter winner would have. That's obviously is the most captain obvious statement ever, but it's a little suspect behind him. And right now, Justin Close could be a good college goaltender. He doesn't have the body of work yet and the kind of experience, even practicing really that much for just a couple years against the Gophers' talent yet to really be a seamless transition is what I should say. And thankfully he's going to be back healthy again this weekend, but LaFontaine specifically, and yeah, they're going to need him the whole season, and it's not going to work if he gets some bit injured throughout the throughout the season and is out for a significant period of time, and that could be a tough loss if it does happen. So bullet dodged, but yeah, no, the Gophers would have some work to make up defensively, especially when if LaFontaine were to go down long term.
Fair. And so, like, let's transition that then, because again, some good, some bad. At least we have LaFontaine. But moving forward to Ohio State, like, what do we need to see different than the output this past weekend if we want to come in and, again, not, like, haggle back and forth, maybe lose in overtime, whatever. Like, we need to win both of these games. We've been clear. How do we do that?
Yeah, they're going to need to be disciplined. They're going to need to really just control those puck battles. And against an Ohio State team that also that should be another one of those Big Ten also-rans, albeit they have had a good start to their season here. They're 3-1 in the conference and 6-2 overall. That's, I think, a split against Michigan State and then a couple wins over Penn State, which I think should bring up the rear of the conference this year. Everybody should be getting at least one sweep against them this year. But yeah, it's going to take discipline. It's going to take all the guys up front. It's going to take depth scoring to really get them over the hump this year. Obviously, a lot has been made about Ben Myers and his hustle. I'm not one to shy away from that praise. I think he's one of the most integral members of the team because of that. Sammy Walker and Blake McLaughlin, they've had a kind of they've been here for a while. They've been able to establish what they are, and now it's. Obviously, they're pretty popular because of it, and they're pretty good game breakers because of it, and in earning that reputation. But they got to be able to rely on the other guys around them, and obviously, so far they've been able to do that in spurts with the guys like Matthew Nyes, Tristan Bros has looked good, Aaron Hughlin last week got a goal and looked and just hearing Bob talk about it on his radio show is that. He was a guy that was that had made a good impression last weekend, and those young guys are really going to have to keep doing it and keep going and make a difference for obviously a very well coached team with Steve Rolick and Ohio State, but they're gonna have the scouting reports on a lot of these guys that they've seen before, but it's going to be on the young guys to kind of show them something they're not prepared for, that'll obviously be the case the whole rest of the season too, but they're going to need to. Step it up and play some good four line action against Ohio State.
For sure. And not to put you on the spot, because to be completely honest, I couldn't answer this question at all. That's why I'm asking it. Like, who is like one or two players that we need to watch out for from Ohio State? Like, who are their big dogs that we're going to notice from the puck drop?
Yeah. Well, what I haven't seen almost any of their play this year, but you know, it's a team that's transitioned a lot in the last couple of years, but, and especially on the goaltending end. And I've heard, I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but I think second star of the week in the big, or second star of the month, actually in the Big Ten, is the Ohio State starting goaltender. And he's European, and he's been making some waves here so far and kind of keeping Ohio State in this. And they've kept their goals against down pretty significantly in most of their games. So it's I think mainly the Gophers are going to have to watch out for and really just test their goaltender that they don't really know a lot about because he hasn't started before, and he's not been a regular, and he's kind of just making his impression on college hockey right now. So it'll be interesting to see how the Gophers can find a way to beat him, and it just after kind of making an impression so far on. Just the Big Ten as a whole for a team that wasn't picked to be one of the top dogs. He looks like he's making them at least be close to that conversation right now.
Fair enough. And we got to end it here the way I've ended it with everybody, Drew. Talk to me about your just initial reaction to the catastrophe this weekend.
Catastrophic. That's all I can say. Catastrophic. But no, it's seeing some of that stuff, hearing some of that stuff, you know, it's we're always making impressions here on the Soda Pod and MNCAA, you know, we're always making a couple good sound bites, and you know what, catastrophic might be, that's got to go in the Twitter bio of some people, you know?
It's t-shirt worthy for sure, man.
T-shirt worthy. We got to get Micheletti in one of those. Why not? How about that?
Oh, it's so perfect. Thank you so much, Drew. Anything you want to plug here? Anything coming up written? Other podcasts? Anything you got coming up for this matchup? What do we have?
Not a whole lot right now, but just follow at Cove Drew on Twitter and you'll see it all when it comes out. So, yeah, no, that's all I got.
Boom. Follow at Cove Drew indeed, everybody. Just another fantastic week here. Could almost call it a catastrophic episode. Thank you to those tuning in on Google, Spotify, and Apple Podcast. Folks, the best thing you can do for us this week is to give us five stars on iTunes and Apple Podcast. Go listen through our website, thehockeypodcastnetwork.com, on your app. Download the episode before you listen, as it just helps our business. Okay, we already told you where you can find him, at Cove Drew. Make sure that you're following MNCAA at MN_NCAA. I'm willing to bet at this point that Isha's never going to get that converted, but that's okay. We can dream, right? And hey, if you want to hear about everything we've got going on Monday through Friday, you can always check out at The Soda Pod. Signing off, stay to hoppy here alongside Drew Cove, and thrilled to have been joined throughout this venture with our boy Harry. We'll call him the human catastrophe. He likes that label. Nick Maxson and Ryan Stieg. This has been MNCAA presented by The Soda Pod. Don't fear, just drink some beer and stay wild.